You're listening to BQN. Assimilate the audio.
Welcome, listeners, to another episode of All Good Things, a Star Trek Universe podcast here on the BQN and the Fandom Podcast Network. I'm your host, Christos, and with me today are Amy and Mark. Good morning.
Good morning. You guys, there were no new Star Trek this week. It's a little, you know.
It's weird.
I know, weird. It's weird.
Yeah. It's well, true. Yeah. But there's lots of sci-fi to uncover on the interwebs. So,
yeah, you know. Yeah, I have decided myself to jump back into Foundation. And, you know, just this week, we have Ahsoka coming, too. So that's going to take us right up to Lower Deck. So, you know what? There's plenty to go around if you branch out from the Star Trek quite a bit.
Oh, my gosh, Christos, I'm watching Foundation, too, because of Mark. Mark is the one that keeps pushing me through. I'm like, this is terrible. And then he's like, no, just keep going. Yeah, now, yeah, I'm in season two now.
Now, Amy does not think it's terrible, listeners. No. I got a text from her yesterday that she's loving it, by the way. So, yes.
It's got an awesome score, too. So,
So good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's Bear McCready. Is that his name?
Oh.
He's the composer for Battlestar Galactica. And he was also brought in to compose the soundtrack for this. And yes, I was listening to the season one soundtrack in my car while my mom was visiting. And she was like, what is this beautiful music? And I explained to her about the show a little bit and about the composer. And so just everybody check it out. It's really good.
Yes.
Yes. And apparently multiple episodes were directed by Roxanne Dawson.
Yes, that's right. I texted that, Mark, to you. I'm like, oh my gosh, this was directed by Roxanne Dawson.
Yeah. Cool.
Very cool. Very cool. So I have my nephews visiting me. I actually had both of them for one day, and my one nephew's in the Navy and he's 20, and I can successfully say he's hooked on Strange New Worlds.
Oh, yay.
I've done my job as an uncle. I have passed it down. That was fun watching that because we're watching it the other day. He's all into it, laughing his head off at the crossover episode, These Old Scientists.
Oh, my gosh.
And my other nephew just wasn't having it. He's like on his phone, tuned out, like beneath him to be even having to endure it. But it was cute. But that was just my little proud moment.
Good job, Uncle Christos.
All right. Well, we have a big topic coming up. So before we get to that, let's hear what's going on with All Good World.
From Las Vegas to Boston, USA to Canada and South America, from the United Kingdom to South Africa, from Russia to Australia, the South Pacific and beyond, this is All Good World.
Wow, I haven't heard that in a long time. We've been doing escape pod for over 10 weeks.
No escape pod.
But we can celebrate our listeners around the globe. And I thought that this time, coming back from a long hiatus of All Good World, I want to celebrate our listeners in Los Angeles, California. They have been going through quite a bit the last few months with multiple strikes happening. We have a lot of people that work, you know, in the industry that have been displaced and out of work. We're not just talking about the actors. We're talking about the writers. We're talking about the set designers. We're talking about the, you know, art designers, makeup people. Everybody have just been affected by the strikes that are happening. And a heck of a lot of Star Trek fans. So I know you guys are listening, and we are here, and we support you, and hopefully everything can come to a good conclusion soon.
Yeah, I was listening to a podcast that... Michelle Hurd. Oh, please. And... she's calling this sort of a big momentum that's going to change the tide for other unions, because you know, the big man has been big for a long, long time. And we need the people to get stronger. We need the people to unionize and to start changing where we have this top 1% that own 90% of the wealth down to us normal, regular people. Yeah. So I really do support them. And yes, hope that this will start changing basically the working environment across the nation and across the world.
Yeah, I am. You know, I think, you know, for the layman's person looking in, we all assume that if you're working in Hollywood, you must be rich, right? I think that's the assumption. And you find out that some of these writers are, you know, making, you know, they're pulling in less than $100,000 a year, and living in SoCal, I can tell you that does not get you much. We've heard of, you know, to get through this strike, what some of them are having to endure is pretty crazy. So it's time for this to happen. I mean, when you think about that, there's no plan for what happens with streaming, for example. Every time we stream a Star Trek episode, whether you do it 10 times, 20 times, 30 times, there's nothing for the actors. There's nothing in that contract because it's just outdated. And so it's time to bring all of that in and bring it up to date and make it fair and equitable for everybody.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, they used to be able to live off the residuals when, you know, an episode would play in rerun. But now you're right, with streaming, this is new technology and things need to be updated. I saw just recently on Instagram that Jerry Taylor.
Jerry Ryan.
Thank you.
Jerry Ryan.
I knew that
close,
was wrong.
Close. Same show, right show.
Yeah, same show. but yeah, Jerry Ryan is, you know, wanting to run and be in the administration of the union. So, and that's, we've already awesome. Got Michelle Hurd as vice president. So, exciting.
Yeah, we've seen
our couple.
Yeah, exactly. We've seen so many of these actors and writers posting pictures of the residual checks, and they're like 10 cents, 25 mm-hmm. cents. I mean, it costs more money for the stamp to get them that check than it does, you know, and even true. That not being modernized in a way that you could do it with a direct deposit. I mean, it's just like old school mm-hmm. ways of doing things, you know, where it could be so much more automated. We did hear that this past week that the writers union has sat down with the bosses again. So, and it's in an optimistic way. So we'll cross our fingers that the writer's strike can make some progress. All right. So let's get to our main topic of the day, which is going to be our coverage of STLV, otherwise known as Star Trek Las Vegas, otherwise known as the 57-year mission. But to us, it'll always be STLV. So today we're going to.
It is convention time. And so there is Destination Star Trek that's happening over in the UK, which is where Kelvin is. Just wanted to send our love to him and all of his friends over there. So it's convention season, and we're here to talk about STLV.
Yay. And with us, we have some very special guests that we're going to beam in here in just a moment. We have Captain Jeremiah from the Captain's Couch right here on the BQN, and our dear friend Iker. So let's welcome these guys.
Hello, everyone.
There.
Hi, guys.
Greetings.
How's everyone today?
Hi. First time on All Good Things, huh?
That's right. Really
yeah. Long. Yeah.
Hey, I'm just going to lean into
first
it.
First time caller.
I was waiting for that, Iker. Good setup. Well, welcome. And so here's your panel today. The five of us are going to kind of break down our 5 to 7 day experience at STLV. I feel like this was one of the longest times I've ever spent in Vegas personally. And as much as I loved everybody, I was ready to go home at the time we were done. 6 nights in Vegas is a long time if you're not a resident.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say this was probably one of my longest ones as well, because I had people coming in before and then the stragglers, you know, who stay after. It was a good full 2 weeks for me. I was doing Star Trek things almost every single night. I'd say 2 nights out of the 2 weeks, I didn't do anything Star Trek-y.
It was also the first year you had to travel to the con, huh, Amy?
Yes. Yes. I was over in the UK with Joe and Ewan and Kelvin and James. And I brought Joe and Ewan back over. We flew across the pond to get over here. And that was very, very fun.
Nice. Nice. Well, you got to get that experience that all of us have of looking forward to traveling to Vegas.
Yeah.
All right. So, Iker, how would you explain the convention experience to someone who's never been? Because, you know, you've done plenty of cons and Star Trek cruises. So
I would tell the convention is a meeting and gathering of like-minded people with one thing in common, and that is Star Trek. It's definitely grown over the last 7 years that I've gone. I remember the first con I went to in Vegas felt very small, a little, I hate to use the word podunk, but it didn't feel like a very big convention. But because of the newer shows that have been in rotation the last couple of years, it just feels like every year it's doubled in size. They have a vendor's room where you can walk around and buy different merchandise and do different autographs and photo opportunities. And throughout the day, they have different panels of different topics and stuff like that. And then there's also a couple art exhibits. And this year they had a really cool Lego exhibit, which was really cool. So it's just kind of a meeting of like-minded people who enjoy Star Trek.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. You know, my biggest observation this year was there's a lot of younger fans. I was noticing. For sure. Yeah. And that's so refreshing, because if we don't get younger fans into this, you know, it's not good for the future outlook Indeed. Of Star Trek. So, or even just cons.
Yeah.
I mean, Star Trek's doing just fine in the ratings, I think, but getting people to show up at the cons, you're going to need younger blood, as they say. Everybody else, anything else we missed there with the overall con experience you guys want to add?
Well, we didn't. I mean, all of those things are important, but we didn't talk about the fact that it is a great opportunity to either make friends as an adult or get together with your friends as an adult, because these are hard things to do with our busy lives. But this is an opportunity to sort of break away from your normal life and meet people with a shared interest, and also party on with those people with a shared interest. Yeah, so it's great.
That's a really good point. I would not know any of you if I didn't start going to Star Trek Las Vegas or any cons, right? I would not know any of you. Mm-hmm. So, and that's become such a big, my Star Trek tribe, as I call it, is probably where some of my best friends in life are today.
Yeah.
The best people come from Star Trek conventions, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have a joke that I always tell Ryan. It's like, it's summer camp for adults.
Yeah.
That's how I explain the ending to people that have never gone, is they always ask, you know, why are you so sad when you come back from this vacation where it was nothing but Star Trek? And I'm like, you don't understand. By the end of it, we are all in tears because it's like leaving summer camp and we're not going to see each other for a year, no matter how frequently we are in contact with each other. We're not going to have that face-to-face experience for another full calendar year at this point. Right, so it's very traumatic to be pulled out of that environment when you're immersed into it. And it's like the Nexus. You're wrapped in joy.
Yeah.
We have used that analogy a few times.
Yes, we have. And it's so interesting to me how we can like all come together and like it's our Trek family. But there's so many of us, and yet it's okay that, okay, you're going to go over here, be with them. I'm over here. And then, but your core group of friends, y'all come back and, okay, we have a drink at Masquerade, or, you know, we have dinner. Like, there's just so many amazing people. And every year I'm just like, I can't believe I met more incredible human beings. Like, it gives you faith and hope in this human race that we are trying to progress and to move forward, and to just have that commonality of, okay, we can be better people. That's what I love about the conventions.
Yes, for sure. Yes. And, you know, I think that after I say to myself, like, I've been coming to these things since, I haven't missed an STLV since 2017. I've been on two Star Trek cruises and Lord knows whatever else I've done with San Diego Comic-Con and all these Paramount experiences. And I think to myself, how can there be any other Star Trek fans that I haven't met yet? Oh, and yeah. I keep meeting them. Even in my own town, I keep meeting Star Trek fans. And it's like, you're starting to find out, I'm starting to see it leak into my main feed, as I call it. If I look at my Facebook feed, there are friends of mine who I had no idea were Star Trek fans just posting about like Strange New Worlds or, you know, Picard season 3 and things like that. And it's like, oh, wow, it is really hitting mainstream again. So it's just, we're out there, we're everywhere. And there's, you just keep on meeting these people. It's amazing. All right. So Jeremiah, how would you compare this year to prior years? And what I mean by that is, with the writer's strike and the actor strike going on, a lot of the guests at the con, 100 plus guests, could not talk about Star Trek per se. So they had to talk about other things. How do you think that changed the con? What is your perception of all of that?
I think it was a breath of fresh air into the convention. It opened up the possibility to explore new territory with these actors and learn about other things that drive them besides this franchise that we all have in common. And, you know, I've said it a million times. If you've seen one panel, you've seen them 100 times. You go year after year after year. It's the same stories over and over again. The questions from audience members aren't very original at this point, as it's usually the same thing being repeated by different people. And it's kind of like, you know, you guys not watch this on YouTube? You know, let's do a little preparation before we come and come up with some unique questions. And this year, I think it just really breathed a breath of fresh air that I hope we continue to see as people have now experienced the fact that there's a plethora of topics to cover that's outside of Star Trek that's just as interesting because these people were involved in that as well.
Yeah. 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 I thought it was pretty interesting just hearing some of the different stories. Amy, I know you hit a lot of the panels. What did you think about that?
Yeah, absolutely. What Jeremiah said, like the questions from the audience were so much better. I'm serious. Like in previous years, someone would get up to the mic and like, you just already knew, and you do an eye roll. And it's like, this has been asked 20 billion times. And I get it because there are new people who have never been to a convention. And so they're excited and they want to ask questions. But this, we got to learn more about the actors and their mm-hmm. lives and their passions outside of acting. It was so wonderful to hear. And the moderators were even better because they were forced to, you know, expand their thinking. Like it was really good. Very a breath of fresh air. And I want it to continue.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a lot like listening to Investigates.
Mm-hmm. Because yeah. Yes,
Gates McFadden rarely talks Trek with her guests.
So Iker, you were there last year. Well, and Jeremiah, so asking everyone, like, how did you feel the experience? We're now back at the Rio,
right?
And we weren't at Valley's / Paris. Like, compare and contrast that for me, Iker.
Well, I enjoyed the Valley's experience. It was different to get a different scene. I just felt like going back to Rio felt like coming home with, you know, I know a lot of people don't particularly care for the Rio as a hotel. However, I think it's kind of like, it's like my brother. You can't talk trash about my brother, but I can. So that's how I feel about the Rio. It's like, don't
everyone
the
says
Rio.
It's a dump, but it's our dump.
It's our dump. Exactly. But I just wanted to mention something about the panels that you were talking about earlier, because there was a lot of concern for me and some other people, like, oh, what are the rules? What are we allowed to talk about? Like, what are we allowed to ask? And a lot of the actors and the hosts were very respectful to the other actors, with the exception of one, which I think we'll probably talk about later.
Oh, I got plans for that one.
Yeah. Everybody was really respectful to their fellow actors. And I think the audience was really respectful to the actors as well, as far as understanding, like, this is something that they're really striking for us. Like Amy had mentioned earlier, a lot of this AI technology, it's coming for the actors first, but it could potentially come for the teachers, for the factory workers, for the real estate agents. Like, there's a lot of things that they are fighting for us to do. So I think everybody was really respectful of those strike boundaries.
Yeah. Well, everyone except for one, which brings
except
me
for one.
So, and we can break up to that. I'm going to pass this one to our own Voyager expert, Mr. Captain Jeremiah. Why don't you explain to us all the whole Robert Beltran scandal, and we'll discuss.
Oh, Lord, that is a heavy, heavy topic. What
were
was
you
the
in
count?
The panel?
I was in the panel with my jaw on the floor. What was it? 33 SAG violations in a 45-minute panel was the count.
Oh, wow.
The count that I had gathered. I've heard some conflicting that the numbers may have been a little higher than that, but there was at least 33 violations in that 45-minute panel with him and Garrett Wong. I never thought that I would have a bad opinion of somebody from Voyager. And I don't really know where I stand with it right now, to be completely honest. I'm very conflicted. Like, my loyalties to the Voyager crew obviously are paramount with me, but at the same time, I'm looking at Beltran going, you just torpedoed your career. Your involvement with Star Trek is done at this point. You did this with the vice president of the union right there in the room with you. I know that he made everybody on that panel extremely uncomfortable, that without name dropping anything, there were people behind the stage trying to get his mic cut, trying to get the QA cut, because people kept asking questions directly to Beltran, and he would go on a tangent at that point. And nobody behind the scenes was listening to these people that were trying to stop that before it got even further. And it escalated to a point where I think everybody was uncomfortable. Chase, yeah. Garrett, Tim, they were just all extremely uncomfortable. And I think that was in very poor taste of Beltran, despite your personal views, your political affiliations, or any of those related topics. You agreed to abide by the SAG regulations and creation's rules when you signed the contract to attend that convention. Whether you agree with everything or not, by doing that, entering that agreement, you have agreed to follow those rules and blatantly disregarded that. And I think that's going to seriously impact his career and virtue involvement in any con, whether it is creation ran or not.
Yeah. Well, he's really just become the Donald Trump of Star Trek. but it's worse than that, right? It kind of continued into Twitter and whatnot after the con, right? With some anti-LGBTQ type stuff.
Yeah, that hurt.
What's that really about?
Wait, I missed that. Oh my gosh, really?
There was a tirade of him blocking anybody with LGBTQ or a pride flag or whatever type of representation in their profile.
Yeah, pronouns are, you know, very, very conservative type crap.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, when you say he torpedoed his Star Trek career and with the fans and probably his ability to get invited back to any con in the future, that's an understatement. I know I'm reminded with this whole Beltran thing is like, you know, you need to remember that as much as we like to love these actors and love these characters and whatnot, that it's really sometimes disappointing when you get to know the person behind the character. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, I would say 99% of Star Trek actors are some of the most amazing people you'll ever meet. But, you know, you can't expect everybody. I mean, you know, Shatner stepped in it a few times, you know, unfortunately, and so have some others. And it's, you know, you can't expect everyone to be, you know, have, you know, the same opinions and convictions that you do. But it's disappointing when they don't.
Mm-hmm. It's really hurtful too, from a personal level, being personally connected to some of the other Voyager actors on my part, knowing how somebody that they considered a friend had just complete disrespect for them on that panel.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was important to talk about this because it was probably the biggest news thing that happened at the panel or at the whole con. That coming out of there, cast a, you know, little dark shadow over the Prodigy news that we have. So, you know, I'm going to pivot to that and throw it back to
I'm so glad
Amy and Mark to talk Prodigy a little bit here, because we did get, you know, we did get a really good panel. Amy participated in some panels and we got like a 5-minute clip of season 2. So let's talk about that, because that got everybody excited.
Okay, so I am totally in love with Prodigy. And so I went to the two panels they had. The first one was moderated by my good friend Norm, who actually got me started into podcasting. Love you, Norm. And so he had the Hagelman brothers, Aaron Waltke, literally got off the airplane, rushed, and got on stage. It was that close. And then Bonnie Gordon joined us at the end. And they were just, the big thing that I got from it was they were like, we are 99% sure season two is going to get picked up. So with that, I just had a big sigh of relief. I'm like, okay, I'm not worried. We will see season two. So that was very comforting. And I actually was brave enough. I thought of a question that I wanted to ask. And it was the lovely math question about time amok. And they revealed to me that on the script were actual mathematical equations describing the time variance between the characters. My mind was blown. Like, they are literally using math to write Star Trek. And I blurted out. I'm like, can I have a copy of that? And they said, yes. So I'm just waiting to get my copy of the script. And that was so huge for me. And then at the end of that panel, they were like, make sure you go to tomorrow's panel in the main stage. There's going to be a big surprise.
Listeners, if you want to go into the BQN Collective on Facebook, I unbeknownst to Amy, I was standing maybe 20 feet behind her when this whole quick Q&A thing went down. And I was actually able to video the entire exchange of her question and answer. And that got posted in the BQN Collective. So you guys can go back and watch it if you'd like. Maybe, Mark, we can pin that to the top for the next, once this episode drops or something. So it's easy to
absolutely.
Find. Yeah. So Mark, we did come have a panel the next day where we saw a 5-minute clip of Prodigy season two. You want to maybe give us a little breakdown of what we saw?
Yeah. Essentially, they showed it. I'm guessing it was like the beginning, like the first few minutes of the next episode that we have coming up of Prodigy, whenever it does drop. And there was some reveals in there. We get to see it's the Voyager A, which they showed part of the underbelly.
I was bawling.
they explained a little bit about where the show would be going when it continues. We get to see some of our favorite characters back, and they showed a lot more than I was anticipating. I thought they would show a quick clip. I thought it'd be over in like 30 seconds or whatever, but no, it was like watching the episode. Then all of a sudden it was done and I was like, no, I want more now.
Can I ask a question about that Prodigy panel? Because they said some really interesting things that got my imagination going. Is they said that this season two is going to be a Star Trek fans season. That anything that you could kind of dream of that you would want to do in a fantasy world, they tried to do. What do you think that they were talking about? Because my imagination went wild. I'm like, they're doing all this cool stuff.
Bob Picardo flipped my switch as soon as he came down the ramp there. I was so excited because Bob Picardo is one of my, I just love the Doctor on Voyager, and it's going to be a great pairing because he brought a lot of the comedy elements to Voyager, I feel like. And so I think he's going to bring more to season two of Prodigy because I don't think it's a one-off. I think he's going to be on for a number of episodes.
I predict we're going to see more and more and more Voyager cast members join Prodigy in season two. And I even saw a little, I don't know if it's clickbait, but there was an article out there that there's actually even hopes for season three at this point. So I'm really crossing my fingers, and Jeremiah has something to add.
I have so much to add here. Because it's Voyager related. I'd actually known about the Voyager A since December when I'm working on a prop build, and it's a replica of Janeway's Ready Room monitor. And I have done a custom LCARS graphic with classified Voyager database and Janeway service record. So Aaron filled in some star dates and was like, oh, add this promotion to this star date and add this ship to this star date, which happened to be Voyager A. Met the Hagemans outside on the veranda of STLV smoking, right place, right time, they realized who I was after seeing the Janeway tattoos, and we had a lovely, lovely conversation about season two and what's going on. There will be, the hopes are to do season three once we get picked up, and then turn Prodigy into a feature, a Star Trek feature film universe, where a new movie, a new feature full-length theatrical release would drop every 2 years, like the next-gen movies did throughout the 90s.
Would you think what those would be... Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
Is that for streaming, or is that for theatrical?
The way that Kevin stated it was like a theatrical Star Trek universe. So going back to a big screen adventure.
No. Love Prodigy.
Whoa.
Sorry. this is all such good news.
There is also, without saying anything that I am not allowed to say, there is another legacy actor that is involved again in the Star Trek universe through voiceover work, but it has not been made clear to me whether that is in Lower Decks or season two of Prodigy. But I do know of at least one more cast member that will be rejoining the Star Trek universe at some point.
I'm calling it Captain Harry Kim. We're ready for it.
I actually have needs something his promotion. About that. So, if you want to
see all the tea here, we're getting all the tea.
If you want to refill, pivot gears here. So, I don't know if anybody was aware or not that Garrett was cut from season three of Star Trek Picard.
Yes, I did hear that.
He was actually cut shortly before going in for his uniform fitting. Where Garrett was cut is that the Enterprise F in Captain Shelby was supposed to be Captain Harry Kim of the Voyager B, the Pathfinder class Voyager B, that we actually see in Picard season three. Is it comes up on one of Raffi's search screens, is there is a Pathfinder class, and if you screen in, it is the third starship to bear the name Voyager. That was all supposed to be Captain Kim at Frontier Day with Voyager leading the ceremony. Wow. And because of internal politics with Prodigy controlling all assets of Voyager, they said you cannot use Harry Kim because this will conflict with something that we're going to do. So that was dropped and replaced with Shelby and the Enterprise F, which also goes back to all of the Janeway name drops, was that Tuvok, all of Tuvok's scenes, that was all supposed to be Kate Mulgrew.
That you can just tell in the dialogue alone that was not written for Tuvok, that was written for Janeway. So maybe it's a good thing that the Harry Kim thing got cut, because we saw what happened to Shelby.
Right.
I mean, look at the glass half full. I mean, bringing him back as a captain, and then, well, I don't know, maybe the plan wasn't to kill him, but we don't even know that Shelby particularly died, I guess. But, either way, that would be kind of a slap in the face to be brought back and then just to get two phaser strikes. Wow, really cool. That's a lot of good Prodigy news. I know a lot of us have been working to get, download Prodigy, buy DVDs. I know it was on sale on iTunes, and Mark did a pretty good job making sure we all knew about that when it was only $10 for the entire first season. So I think, Mark, we can look forward to some future Prodigy discussions on All Good Things.
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready. I've been combing through the episodes. I'm going to pin some and maybe some future coming up All Good Things.
Kobayashi, I can't wait. Kobayashi.
We already covered Kobayashi, didn't we?
I know, but I got to talk about it again.
Once I get the script, we definitely need to cover Time Amok.
Prodigy, I have secured an episode of The Captain's Couch with some Prodigy creatives. We are just waiting for the SAG sanctions to loosen up a little bit for them to appear on the Captain's Couch to discuss Voyager's legacy in Star Trek Prodigy.
Woohoo!
Nice.
Sweet. So let's move on to our next topic, kind of getting it back to STLV, because that was a really good jaunt down the Prodigy lane. But
sorry.
No. I'm here for it. I started the conversation. but let's talk about our photo ops and autograph type experiences. And I'm going to kick it off because I had a really cool one. I was making my way around the vendor room with Ewan and Joe, because they were basically my con partners this week. this year, I should say. And we came across Larry Nemechek, who had gotten a whole box of TNG scripts. I forget the guy's name. Rene Echeverra. Yes. They were all his. He was going to throw them away, and Larry took them, and he brought them to STLV and was selling them, you know, just for like $30 a piece, which these are original scripts that are not reproductions and everything. So as much as I wanted to buy like 10 of them, I controlled myself to buy two and leave some for other people, because there were some, I mean, it seems like every major Bev episode was in that box, but I bought two, Sub Rosa and Genesis, and I already owned Remember Me anyway. So, and I left the rest, so I was being nice, but then I went and saw Gates, and I wanted to get one autograph. And honestly, Gates's prices have gone up in the world because of Picard season 3. She was commanding $60 to $80 for an autograph. So I'm like, okay, only one of these is getting autographed. I let her choose, and she chose to autograph not Sub Rosa. She said that's the kitschy one, not important to her that much. She gets it though. But she wanted to autograph the Genesis script that I had, because she directed that episode, which I knew, which is one of the reasons I had picked it. In fact, she's not even in the episode that much because she did direct it. But she said it was her favorite week on set in all 6 years that she had worked on TNG. So that week meant a lot to her. So getting that autographed and getting that little extra. I mean, we've already heard her talk about Genesis before, but it was nice to hear her talk about it.
So this was like pipe dream for me that I did not think was going to happen. This is my third year going to STLV, and every year that I've gone, in my head, I was like, LeVar Burton, LeVar Burton, LeVar Burton. And then LeVar Burton has not been there. but he was here this year, and I circled around his booth, and the line was all the way down the vendor's hall. And I was like, man, because I hate lines. I really do. And I was like, well, he's going to be here. I'll just keep an eye on it, and I'll try to circle back. Well, I went like the next day, and it was early, and there was like 3-4 people in the line. I was like, yep, jumped right in. At that point, I was pretty much out of money. But I was like, whatever, I'll put this on a card. I don't care. And I got up, and I got to see LeVar. And I tried to talk with him as much as I could with the limited time that I had, but just sort of explained that, you know, I was just there for Star Trek, but I was there for Reading Rainbow. The guy got me interested in books and literature. He taught me a lot through his show. Through that, I got into Star Trek, really. It was through, like, Reading Rainbow, through watching that. And, I mean, he was just so nice and personable, and he saw on my phone I had a picture of my dog, and he was like, oh, what's your dog's name? And I told him, and he's like, oh, where's your dog now? And I told him that my mom was watching him, and he's like, oh, what's your mom's name? And I told him it was Pam, and he's like, oh, well, make sure when you talk to Pam, tell her I said hi and give her a big hug for me. And I was like, oh my god, aren't you just the nicest human? And it was just really great. So I got a photo with him, got autograph, so that was cool. And then, like I said, I was at that point really out of money. I mean, I was out of money before, but I was really out of money then. On the last, I think it was the last day, my partner Andy and I were walking around, and he saw that Ethan Peck and Zachary Quinto were doing like a dueling Spock's photo op thing. And he's like, I bet you want to see that, or I bet you'd want to do that. And I was like, well, yeah, but, you know, I'm out of money. And he's like, well, I didn't ask if you were out of money. He's like, you want to do that, don't you? And I was like, well, yeah, I'd love to. And he was like, all right, let's do it. And so he threw down for me, and we both went and did the dueling Spock's photo. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was awesome. You know, Andy really loves Ethan Peck, and I like Ethan Peck too, but I was like really about, you know, Zachary Quinto, because he spent so much time with Nimoy. And to me, it's the closest to Nimoy's performance. I also love Zachary Quinto in so many other things, so many other movies and whatnot. So Andy got to hug Ethan, and I hugged Zach, and we got the photo up, and it was a lot of fun. And then I got really mad after, because I had seen the meme where that girl did the she was looking at one Spock and like walking away from the other, and I was like, oh, I could have done that, darn it, because that would have been really funny.
That was very clever.
Oh well.
All right. It's good to hear that Andy is a sweetheart. Normally, I don't like to do photo ops and autographs at the Vegas Con. I think the lines are more aggressive there than they are at something like the cruise. But this year, I did Doug Jones, which we had him on the cruise last year, and we got I don't want to say we got close, but I was able to spend a little bit more time with Doug, and I am now obsessed with the man. He is the sweetest person, kindest person, constantly entertaining people. Like, that man just really knows how to connect with this particular audience. So waiting in line for Doug was worth it. He looks you dead in the eye. He asks you how you're doing, gives you the biggest, most satisfying hug. So that was a really, really good one. Just Jones is probably one of my favorite of the new cast. Then we had Mr. Ethan Peck and Anson Mount were just sitting there looking just as good as they could be. So I threw down for a picture with those two. And in that, you know, the 30, 45 second interaction, I had a whole relationship with both of them. We just put a down payment on our first condo. We're moving in. It's great. So that was my 45 second fantasy with those two. And it was well worth it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Amy.
Yeah, I thankfully had another picture with Marina, a good friend, Christian Alonso, who loves Deanna as much as I do. He asked me to join in with his photo op. And it realized that I'm wearing the same blue scant with Marina from the cruise and now this. So I think that needs to be my thing. Every time I have a picture with Marina, I need to be in my blue scant. And so I'm all about it. And yeah, that was, I'm just so chicken when it comes to talking or even seeing them. So I'm so grateful for those people that allow me into this world of photo ops and autographs.
Awesome. Awesome. And Jeremiah, any moments?
Yes. You know, I was pretty conservative this year with autographs and photo ops because one in particular took all of my money. Terry Metalis saw me coming a mile away. Terry Metalis, and he kept sliding Voyager contraband across his table of things that he had walked away from the show with, which I have added to my collection. And the man continues to want to bankrupt me because every few days I get a text from him going, oh, look what I just unearthed. And I'm like, Terry, I don't have any more money. Like, I would literally lose my house if I continued to buy from you because I want this all. And come to find out that I have Garrett Wong to think for this, because him and Garrett were talking about me. I discovered yesterday from Garrett. And it's funny because multiple people were coming up to me going, yeah, I heard Terry Metalis talking about you. You're like famous now. So that was so much fun. And then I had walked up on Garrett. I was just walking past Garrett Wong's booth and I hear my name. And I thought Garrett was like trying to get my attention. And I'm like, what? And he's like, no, not talking to you, talking about you. So I have become the subject that people are telling stories, the actors are telling stories to other fans, which is very surreal, but a lot of fun at the same time. Only photo op I did was with my buddy Matthew Dempsey, and we did the two Daxes photos with Terry and Nicole, which was just so much fun, as I love both of those ladies so much.
What swag did you get?
I got two Elkhart panels from Voyager, a stainless steel coffee mug from Voyager, two Deep Space Nine tribbles from the episode Trial and Tribulations, and can actually pinpoint where those tribbles were located. They were two of the tribbles that Quark had at the end when he's leaning on the bar. So what else did I get? Carpet from the Enterprise D. And this, which I have handy, I know listeners won't be able to hear it or see it. Oh, I said I had it handy. Don't make a liar out of me. This Enterprise G/Titan door panel.
Escape pod. Oh, wait. No, sorry.
I knew I was going to get Mark excited.
And it has the little directional arrow with it. So yeah, I didn't bring home a lot of stuff, but I brought home quality that bankrupted me.
Yeah, yeah. I actually, I guess I kind of forgot. I did do a little photo op with Terry Metalis at his table, and Rhea helped with that. We played the Greek card a little bit, you know, Terry Metalis being Greek. And of course, Rhea and myself being your Greek experts on BQN. So that was kind of a little fun little moment with him. I got to thank him for season three of Picard and really thank him for how Beverly heavy the season was, which, you know, I really appreciated, of course, anybody who knows me. And I got to talk to David Blass for quite a bit. Mark, were you there for that? One of the nights at Masquerade?
I was able to talk to him for a little bit with you guys, but he was kind of mobbed. So I stood and listened for a little bit and said hello, and then I wandered off. But
well, I felt bad when he first got to Masquerade. I eyed him, and then, you know, David and I got to talk a little bit last year at a Gays in Space party with Sean Farrick. And we talked, you know, last year. So we were talking again this year, and I saw him like nobody was talking to him. So I approached him. I felt kind of bad. I thought he was actually going to leave Masquerade because nobody was talking to him. And so we kind of went up and started talking to him. And then I think other people just started through osmosis kind of hearing and realizing who he was, kind of mobbed him, like you said, Mark. And we got to talk a lot about some of the behind the scenes stuff and the production stuff on Picard season three. And then I did get to go the next day. I went into the con, and he has a beautiful panoramic picture of the bridge of the Enterprise D recreation that's literally signed by everybody, the Okudas, etc., who all worked on that. So that's one of, it's over there on my dining room table, and that's one of my new framing projects I need to get done. So that was
12 by 36, and you can get some frames on Amazon from $20 to $60. I've been looking.
Thank you, sir. Thank You're you welcome. Very much.
I actually came home with two of those, as I picked up one from my best friend because his birthday is at the end of the month. However, he is continually to giving me more excuses than you can count of why he can't watch Picard season three yet. And I have given him till the end of this month to get it watched, or I not only spoil it by showing him his birthday present, but I will then be setting it on fire in front of him.
Oh, well, don't do that. You can
No, 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 no. I'm just going to make him think that. But he doesn't need to know that.
Nice.
He just needs to be, you know, I need to put the fear of the Borg into him to get it watched.
Nice.
I wanted to give myself a little bit of space between season three to let it sort of settle for me, and I feel like I did appropriately. I jumped back in. I texted Amy. I jumped back in last night to rewatch season one. I think this is a good time because Strange New Worlds is done. I can go back, and it's given me all the feels again for the second time around. And this time, I can binge the crap out of it.
Well, I'm on a pause on purpose. I did watch an episode recently. I like to watch episode four quite a bit, but we're like 2 weeks away from the Blu-ray release of Picard season three and all the special features and the deleted scenes and things like that. So we'll have to maybe, depending on how robust that DVD set is, we may have to do a breakdown on it. All right, let's jump to our very last topic, which is away missions, and that is moments outside the convention. And I'm going to pass that to Iker first, because I think we did the first away missions on with Amy on Tuesday night, I think it was, before the con even got going.
That's right. In Vegas, there is a place called Escapeology that has had a Discovery-themed escape room for the last, I don't know, 5 years or so. And every year we talk about going. We talk about going. Let's do the escape room. And it never kind of comes to fruition. But this year we're like, we're totally going. First night we're there. Just book it. So we went, did the escape room. It was utter chaos for about 45 minutes, but we did complete it. Did anybody catch the time that we completed it?
Oh, 54 minutes. We had time to spare.
Mm-hmm. 54 minutes. Yeah. It was actually, I was surprised at how close to the theming of Discovery it was. It felt like you were like in a little starship room. Some of the puzzles, I was like, oh, I don't know what this is even referring to.
Well, it was, I loved it because it was basically taking the plot of TNG's disaster with the quantum filament and plugging it into Discovery. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, we know this. And Amy, we know how to not be Troy on that bridge. You know, it's pretty cool.
I get really nervous in escape room. So I was, I don't know if you guys could tell, but I was like dripping in sweat. I was like, at the end of it, I was like, oh my gosh, I was so nervous the whole time. And then was it Ewan and Amy got like added a little bit? I was like, you have to fight.
It was literally, it literally is what working in teams is like, you know. But mm-hmm. I thought for the most part, we all kept our cool and represented well. That was a really special night for me. That was actually my birthday, if y'all remember. Mm-hmm. And we had it was a great way to spend my birthday, really to kind of kick off the week and spend it with good friends and really kind of set the tone for the week. And it just kind of kept going from there.
Tuesday night, I went to Starbase Las Vegas and attended the Delta Flyers wrap party for with Robbie and Garrett and all of the other Admiral members who were all the original Admirals. So the founding Admirals of the Delta Flyers, there was a time cutoff that if you were an Admiral from this date, by this date, then you were eligible to attend the party. So it was a lot of fun. I haven't seen Robbie in person since we hung out at my place in 2020. So it was really great to see him face to face for the first time in several years, and just a lot of fun to kick it with the other Admirals who I only ever see over Zoom. It was a great way to start the convention. And I got my Tom Paris plate signed. So I was running around yelling, I got my bull signed by Chakotay. Anybody that's seen, will always have Tom Paris episode knows, that was Mariner's thing. Did you get your bull signed by Chakotay?
Awesome. That is a great way to kick things off. Amy, why don't you go into what we did on Wednesday night?
Wednesday night. Yeah, it was really fun. We went to, first of all, got dinner at Nacho Daddy's, a great nacho place, fabulous, unique, wonderful margaritas. And then we went to see Kelly Clarkson. Yay! It was so amazing. Christos organized it all, got us the tickets, and we were down like general admission, standing right in front of the stage. She was talking to the audience, and listeners, I know Kelly Clarkson, but I don't really know her. I had never seen her show. I just knew a couple of her really big hits, but she was so engaging and honest and passionate. She could totally fit into our Star Trek world, because she has this hope for a better future, and it comes through in her songs. Even though she's, been going through a divorce and she still has that hope. And I just found the whole evening very enjoyable. And we had good friends there. Adam was new to our group, and he came, and he's such a joy. Just love him.
Yeah, it was great that so many of us went. Five or six of us in the end. But I just enjoyed the concert. It was great to be there with all of you guys. It was, the concert was everything I could have hoped for. She sings all the good stuff, and including a few deep cuts that I really like. So it was great, great night too. And we hadn't even started the con yet.
Yeah, no, that was Wednesday. Right. Yeah.
Anybody else have a Wednesday night activity that they did?
We went to Omega Mart on Wednesday night, which is a art exhibit. And
I still haven't been.
It got pretty freaky. It started out really fun. So just a brief description as to what Omega Mart is. It's a conceptual art piece where you start out in like a Walmart themed store. And then they have these portals where you go to other dimensions. And you can do like scavenger hunts.
Wanted to do that.
Interactive things. Yeah. It we were there for probably about 2.5-3 hours. And towards the end of it, I might have had a margarita or two. I started to get freaked out because I could not find my way out of this place. I was like, it's so large and there's so many different paths. I was like, I can't find my way out. And I got disconnected from our group. So I was like asking people, where do I go? How do I get out of here? But that was kind of a fun night.
Sweet, sweet. See here. Thursday, We actually went away again, didn't we, Amy? We were just busy that week, weren't you?
We were. We thanks over to Caesar's. Our good friend, yeah, Matt Harker. We went and saw a show, Absinthe, which I had never seen, and had an absolute amazing, laughing, great time.
Yeah, I had not laughed that much in a long time, and I still tell the story of four gay middle-aged men and a female.
The token female, yep.
The token female, yeah, yeah. We got called out big time. We were in the splash zone, as they say, and Amy was sitting right in the middle, two guys on each side, and we got called out. So that was a lot of fun, though. I'm like, you're not wrong. Nope. All right. That takes us to Friday. Anybody else have a Thursday, Wednesday or Thursday story?
Other than masquerading all night.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's, yeah. Yeah. Friday, we did the fan sets party, right?
That's yeah, well, right. We had our network party. Dinner. Oh, yes.
Yeah, how could I forget
Let's
that?
Let's not forget that.
Yeah. Remember the obscene light fixtures?
Yeah. Yeah. Mark, why don't you break down our dinner out on Friday?
Oh, yeah. Let's Mark break down the dinner on Friday. Yeah, that's a good idea, Christos. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I see what you did there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Was I there? I feel like if you remember the BQN party, you weren't actually at the BQN party. No. So here's the thing. Here's the tea. So yes, my body was definitely there at the BQN party. I arrived physically. My being was there. Yeah. So I had an issue. We got these. My partner and I. We went to the dispensary before we went to Vegas, and we got these chocolates. And hadn't had them before, new company, thought we'd try it out. And they said that, oh, it was like 5 milligrams THC per, you know, dose. And we're like, all right. So we open up the chocolate and they're squares, right? But the squares are cut in half into the triangles. And we're like, oh, so which, what's five? We couldn't figure out what was 5 milligrams, whether it was a triangle or a square. So we just went with the squares. No. Nope. Evidently, it was a triangle. Because we both got very, very, very high and then found ourselves in the lobby with all y'all and we were going out to eat, I guess. And yeah, I don't know. I think Mark. Most of my body wasn't working anymore. But
Mark was channeling Blazing Bev and just having a good time.
Yeah, but I do remember I was sitting next to Captain Jeremiah. I cannot forget that because you just were tickling my funny bone all night. Everything coming out of your mouth was just, I almost spit out my food, my drink, because I felt at one point I was feeling my own chest. Because I felt like I was having a heart attack because you were making me laugh so hard. But I had a great time, I remember. And Andy had a great time. And yeah, so anyway, good time was had by all from what I can remember. I just remember Mark, laughing a lot.
do you remember the car next to us slamming into the other car at the in the Paris
Oh, that's right.
driveway?
No, people were telling me about this.
Hey, no, I was like, in the car. You were in the car because I was on the door side. So I had, you know, the bird's eye view of the whole thing. And there was that limo that was trying to cut in between us and the car that was in front of them. And our cab driver refused to let him over. And he just slammed into the car in front of him. And then he was the car that he hit just like acted like nothing happened. Like she never moved. Never. Wow. Like I don't think they even noticed that they got hit, but I sure noticed it.
Wow.
Well, then we actually got to dinner, and it took a little while, a little finagling, but I have this awesome picture of everybody kind of waiting around as we figured out the table, which is kind of like my favorite picture of the night, although we took a lot of pictures at the table. But
oh, I don't even remember
moved
that.
Around a few. You're looking right at the camera, man.
Did you post it?
No. I don't think so.
Oh, well, yeah. Post that one or send that one or something, because I want a copy.
Yeah. Okay, I'm freaking out. Can we say who was there from the network? It was such a good evening.
That's why I was pulling.
Well, that's not going to be me.
I didn't.
We've made that.
Amy, why don't you give Amy, you want to give the breakdown?
Well, I was very grateful to have everyone take time out of, as we know, very busy convention life to come step away. We went to Paris Alexa's restaurant. Yes, there was a little bit of mix-up, which sort of got my evening off on the wrong foot, but we had Thad from Infinite Diversity. Don't let me miss anyone. We had Joe with his partner Ewan from Galaxy Class. We had Christos from here, All Good Things, and What's the T-Bev. We had Mark and his partner Andy from All Good Things and Cinema Z. We had a longtime listener, forever, ever, lovely Greg Malumbi was there. We had, who was next to?
Kevin Scar.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Oh, my gosh. Edit that out. We had Kevin Scarf from Galaxy Class. We had Matthew Dempsey, good friend. Jeremiah. Captain Jeremiah from Captain's Couch. And myself. And that was the table.
Who was the down by sitting next at the very end of the table on?
That was our listener, Greg Malumbi.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. He's been with me since Trek FM days. Like he's traveled with me through all the networks and all the, yeah, he's a really good friend in the network.
Oh, Rhea was there.
Yeah, yes, did you mention Rhea? I was just going to mention that.
And Rhea Papagiorgio from Galaxy Class.
And her Voyager hoodie.
Yes.
Yes, she had me rolling. I may have had Mark rolling the whole time, but Rhea was sitting right across from me and had me rolling.
Yeah. I did what I like to do when I'm in a big group like that. I'm strategic and I like to belly up to like the middle of the table. So you kind of are immersed in people on all sides, which can be a little overwhelming actually, because you're trying to keep up in multiple conversations. But it was a good place to be. It was really fun to spend some time with people. I had never even met Kevin Scarf in person before this con. So that was really nice to get to talk to him, get to know him a little bit. So it's just like it continues to be this great experience at STLV. And Amy, thank you so much for organizing the dinner and pulling us all together.
And it was a really good restaurant. Like the food was excellent.
I really enjoyed getting away. I mean, you know, the Rio wasn't the best for food this year. It never is. So it was kind of good that we got out several times. And then we took off from there. We went to the fan sets party. Is that right?
I mean, we crashed the Trek Geeks fan sets party.
Yeah,
that was very, very crowded. I've been wanting to go the last few years, and this year I was very excited to be able to go. And we got there, and it was like a fire code violation. I mean, you could barely move.
We actually got there. I remember the year was at Caesars. It got shut down because they came and booted us out because it was breaking the fire code.
But Michelle Hurd was there and Bonnie Gordon, and then we were in line a little bit later. Next thing you know, Doug Jones was there and he graciously took a little selfie with us, and you know, it was a fun little party. And then I think we just decided we were done and getting in a car. I don't know if we all split up at that point, but I just remember like getting in a car with Joe and you, and we were on our way back to Rio. I want to say, was that our last big outing? Does anybody else do anything that they want to talk about in the away mission realm?
Well, I guess it's not really an outing, but I went to the Roddenberrys did a concert on Saturday night, I think. It was either Friday or Saturday night. And Tim Russ opened the show. He came and did several songs with them, as did Bonnie Gordon, which it's always a fun time to see the Roddenberrys. But I like that they threw a few surprises at us this year.
Yeah, I caught Bonnie Gordon on one of the Roddenberry stages. She did some performances. Cool. All right. Well,
I was just going to say, I also went to that Area 15 thing and checked out what that was and got to, see some cool, like, interactive art, get some, you know, good drinks and hang out, and it was kind of a cool space. We also went to it's part of that complex, but it was like the history of space travel. So you could go into this room and it was supposed to be like 4D kind of thing where they take you from, you know, man's first mission into space to where they were going in the future. And that was really kind of cool, immersive experience. I haven't done anything like that before, so I enjoyed that. And Andy and I ended up going back to Alexis's restaurant because we love it so much. And I was trying to, well, when we went for our group, the BQN group, my brain wasn't functioning, so I couldn't remember what I had ordered the year before. But then when we went back the next time, I kind of remembered what I ordered and was able to order it again and loved it. So
nice.
I love how you guys go to places that I still have not been, and I have freaking lived here for 15 years. So I love it.
Nice. All right. So final thoughts. I personally thought it was a really great con. It just reminded me every year why I do this and why I go and why I even do the Star Trek cruise in between to make it actually 6 months between all my trips. But I had a really great time. Anybody want to, you know, wrap up their week or their thoughts on the week?
I agree with you, Christos. It's just so much fun, and it's a break from reality. And the most important part is getting to see the Trek family. It's what I primarily go for. Everything else is secondary and just extra fun. But the primary goal is to see all of you and to spend as much time as possible with the people that I love the most on this planet.
STLV for me is a lot like Mexican food, right? So you have all of the same ingredients, and they're all delicious, but you can form them in so many different ways. You could have a burrito or a taco or a quesadilla or a chimichanga. And so that's STLV. It's like you got the same kind of ingredients every year, but it's never the same food. And it's always delicious.
But it's always good. Yeah.
Mm.
So
yes. Listeners, Mark loves Mexican food.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Amy, we've now created a little bit of a tradition. So 2 years in a row, we've gone to Nacho Daddy. So I think that is a new tradition that we will have to continue going forward because I love that place, too.
Please go? You also took us to the vegan.
Oh, yeah.
Modern vegan?
The Modern Vegan, which is actually down close to UNLV. But the Modern Vegan, which a lot of Star Trek people have seen. I've actually run into Garrett Wong there and Mary Chifo, I think, in there as well. So, it's a cool little restaurant. You would never guess when you pull in. It's a little strip mall, and it looks like you might get killed in the parking lot. But then you go in, and it's just a really nice restaurant. And Amy was doing this thing, listeners, where she would not order food. She would let us all order food and then just eat off our plates because she wanted to try everything.
I know. I love that. And everyone was so gracious to give me one bite of their food. So it worked out great, I thought.
Yeah, it did.
You know, STLV, I have been talking about this every year, it seems like, since I've had a podcast and recapping it. And it's just exactly right, Mark. It's the same thing. It's all the feels, all the relationships. Like, that's what it's about. And I still go to the panels. There's just a draw where I want to see the actors, hear what they're doing. So it's a lovely mix of everyone coming together. It's chaos. Those first few days, you cannot walk down any hall or the vendor room without stopping and reuniting with amazing, great people. It does get very tiring, especially when you're hanging out at the masquerade bar till all hours of the night. But that's what it's about. And you want to just soak up every little bit of love that you can, because it just, you know, it just doesn't happen every day. And so for me, it's getting reinvigorated, re-hopeful, all of these things. With the Trek philosophy in the background. Iker, your final thoughts?
I agree with all of those feelings. I think at the top of the top of the show, Christos mentioned about how he was sick of Vegas but didn't want to leave the con. I think by the time you get to the end of it, you're just, because it's like 110 degrees, However, I always get tremendously sad last day because I feel like I won't see my people for another 6 months to a year. I always have this thought, do I want to go again next year? You know, I've seen everything. I've talked to everybody. I've gotten all the pictures I wanted. But the element that I can't recapture is the people. So yeah. I'm probably going to be going for the next foreseeable future every year.
I was so sad Monday morning when Matthew Dempsey left me, as we share a room every year, that I immediately booked it. I wouldn't go back to my hotel room because it was just too depressing to be there alone. And I went to the pool party at the Rio, got in at 11 o'clock that morning, and lost all track of time just trying to keep, you know, the STLV feeling alive, and ended up completely lobster red and burnt to a crisp by the time I got out of the pool. And I ran into a Delta Flyers friend who invited me to the final outing that Monday night. And I had to run back to my room and, of course, get cleaned up. And just the little time I was in there alone that night was just sobbing because of how sad it was to be that it was ending and I was actually on my own after being immersed with so many people.
Yeah, I for me, like, one of the highlights this time was seeing Joe and Ewan again. I hadn't seen them in 4 years in person. So it was always, it was bittersweet when they actually helped me get everything to my car on Monday morning and load me up and send me on my way. So, yeah, but that was, like you said, it's bittersweet about it ending, but we get to look forward to the next time. I've already had a few people like, hey, have you booked your room next year? Have you booked your room next year? I'm not even sure how you book your room next year because it's not going to be Caesars, right?
Yeah.
It's going to carry over? I don't know. I'll have to figure that out. But I definitely, yeah, that is the secret, listeners. I'll pass that on. If you want to get a reasonable rate, book now. If you book out a year now or whatever, it's never the crazy rates that, you know, I think I paid $600 for six nights at the Rio because I booked so far ahead. So just a little trick there. We would love to hear what you thought of today's episode and hope you'll join our Facebook group, the BQN Collective, to continue our discussion there. You can also tweet your thoughts to @allgoodpod. Please follow the network on Twitter, Blue Sky, and Instagram @BQNpodcast. We have also partnered with our friends at the Fandom Podcast Network, where you can find us by searching their master feed. So, Mark, where can people find you when you're not hanging out with Blaze and Bev?
Ooh, I would love to spend all night hanging out with Blaze and Bev, even if I wouldn't be able to remember it the next day. I'm sure it would be worth it. when I'm not doing that, you can find me in the BQN Collective Facebook page. You can also find me on Twitter/X @MarkWhite207. I'm on Blue Sky @MW207. And yeah, I have another podcast besides this one. It's called Cinema Z, which I host with Matt and Laz. And we have some cocktails. We talk about some of our favorite films. We laugh a lot. And I encourage everybody to check it out. And Amy, where can people find you when you are not being invited to take another photo with Marina?
Well, when I'm not doing that, and please, listeners, if you're ever around and can make it so, please make it so. You can find me here on the network where I'm co-hosting a couple other shows, Galaxy Class and Union Federation. I am on Twitter @MissAmyNelson, but my favorite place right here, BQN Collective, our Facebook group. So, Chris, where can people find you when you're not jamming to Kelly Clarkson?
You can find me also on Facebook in the BQN Collective, on Twitter and Instagram @GreekGeekST, and over on my other podcast, What's the Tea, Bev, where we talk LGBTQ, peeps, allies, and all the new Trek news. So, Iker and Jeremiah, thank you so, so much for joining us this week. Jeremiah, where can people find you?
You can find me over on Twitter @CaptainJeremiah. You can also find my podcast, The Captain's Couch, @CaptainsCouch on Twitter. Feel free to also find me on TikTok @CaptainJeremiahBrown.
And Iker?
You can find me on Instagram @IKERB7778. You can also find me on YouTube @IkerCerna. However, it is not Star Trek related content. Started a new YouTube channel with Star Trek content. Let me know if you're interested in something like that. What would you like to see? Go ahead.
But you are on in our BQN collective group.
Oh, I am in the BQN collective group. I am a drone of the BQN collective group. You can see me there.
I also wanted to do a quick little shout out to Davey's Trexperts quiz, which is already dropped as of yesterday. He had a massive, massive Battle of the Beverlys podcast. He put a lot of work into it. I was on it, as well as people from Where's Beverly and Crusher Convo. And it was a really, really fun episode to record, and check it out. Please hit the subscribe button on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts and leave us a star rating and written review. That helps others to find the show. You can also follow the entire network's podcast with our master feed by searching BQN.
At this time, we would like to thank our associate producers, Mahendran Radhakrishnan and Tim Cooper. A special thanks to Graham Kelly for our opening and closing music, and our very own Mark White for our artwork each and every week. I'm curious to see what the artwork is going to be, Mark.
Oh, there are plans.
Okay, plans. I knew it.
If you'd like to help us keep all of our shows coming to you each week, you too can become a patron of the network on Patreon. We'll add you to the Hive Mind Facebook group so you can enjoy It's Green, Amy's Math Moments, and other network perks. With a monthly subscription of $5 or more, you can join our meetings on the Hive Mind Roundtable discussion on the second Saturday of each month. Visit patreon.com/BQN to get all the details and watch your messages.
Thank you for listening.
We hope you'll join us as we search out
all good things.
What shows are on BQN, you ask? Well, here's a rundown of some podcasts you might be interested in. All Good Things, a Star Trek Universe podcast covering all of Trek, hosted by Amy, Mark, Christos, and Kelvin. Bargain Bin Gamer, a YouTube show hosted by Davey, a self-proclaimed gamer who specializes in reviewing and showcasing affordable video games. If you're lost in the Delta Quadrant, check out The Captain's Couch, a Star Trek Voyager podcast hosted by Jeremiah sitting on Janeway's Ready Room couch. Cinema Z, a film discussion and review podcast showcasing films you probably missed but should definitely check out, hosted by Mark, Matt, and Laz. Beam Aboard the Galaxy Class, a Star Trek Next Generation podcast covering all of TNG, hosted by Amy, Joe, Rhea, and Kevin. History with the Zilagis, a snippet of historical events from around the world, hosted by Chrissy and Jason. For the newest Trek coverage, check out Infinite Diversity, hosted by Chrissy and Thad. Test your Trek knowledge with Trexperts Quiz, a Star Trek quiz show hosted and written by Davey. Union Federation, covering all things Star Trek and the Orville, which we all know is really a Star Trek show, hosted by Kyle, Kevin, Amy, and Haley. Spill the Tea with What's the Tea, Bev? A Trek current events and fan interview show hosted by Christos. And for our Patreon members, we have The Hive Mind, BQN's monthly roundtable discussion with hosts and listeners. It's Green, a cornucopia of topics hosted by Mark. And Amy's Math Moments, a quick look at math moments in Star Trek, hosted by Amy. We know you have a choice of podcasts to choose from, and we thank you for listening to BQN. Assimilate the audio.